Fanboys and Friends presents... A Fandom Awakens Radio spin-off podcast. Red 5, Ghost Transmissions.
Kanan?
Jedi Order. This is Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. This message is a warning for any surviving Jedi. This is a warning, Dark Shadow. This is a warning. Warning.
Your home for everything Star Wars Rebels.
Warning. The Empire is hiding something important.
We'll deal with it. They can't keep it hidden forever.
I just hope it won't be too late.
There's a rebel spy in our midst. Codename Fulcrum.
We're building an alliance. This is our rebellion.
A coordinated attack by multiple rebel cells is unprecedented.
They've revealed their meager defenses. And it's exactly this moment I've been waiting for.
Welcome home. I should let them know we're coming so they don't shoot us down.
Ha! That's funny, Wait, you're not kidding, are you?
Your rebel friends are going to bring the Empire down on all of us.
If you can convince your mother to help the rebels, all of Mandalore might follow you in the Darksaber.
Once people know you have it, you will be challenged. You must use all your skills together.
I'm fighting for you and everyone else not to lose what they've got.
My friends make the impossible possible.
Come on, bust some buckets.
We will show the galaxy what happens to those who dare speak against the Emperor.
Not if I can help it.
We'll never surrender to you, Thrawn.
I'm not accepting surrenders. I want utter defeat, crashing down upon you.
Now join your crew on board the Ghost, David Senden, Kyle Wagner, and friends, as they discuss everything Star Wars Rebels.
You're in the wrong place.
Red 5, Ghost Transmissions, starts right now.
All right, gang, and welcome to the latest episode of Red 5, Ghost Transmissions, your Fandom Awakens Radio spin-off Star Wars Rebels podcast. I am your host, Davidson, and with me, yes, well, he fits under the end friends, but he's been here all this time. Your friend of mine, Kyle Wagner. Kyle, how's it going?
Who are you?
Who are you?
No, who are you?
No, who are you?
I'm the better leader.
I'm the captain now.
No.
No, gang, we will discuss that on a later Fandom Awakens Radio, but that'll be another show.
Sorry, I just couldn't resist.
No, you know what? I think a lot, let's just say, I think we've been, and we'll, as I said, we'll discuss it on an upcoming far, Kyle, but let's just say, I think that with just three simple words, Fandom has been trolled.
Oh, I think big time. And, you know, considering, I believe that was how a certain trailer opened, too. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, if you want to go back that far. But like I said, different show, different conversation. For now, we are talking Star Wars Rebels, the latest Star Wars Rebels. I will just say up front a little bit of a warning. You know, not a filler episode by traditional means. It's not your Meeber Gascon of Rebels, thank God. But it is not that far above the word filler.
David, wait. Can you hold the podcast? Because I need to use the refreshment room.
Oh, I'm sorry. Should I start acting like AP5 right now?
I prefer if you didn't. Thank you very much.
By the way, you know, when they said refresher, okay, that got me going, oh, dear God, all these people complaining and moaning about these real terms in our old days of the EU books, where you heard the word refresher, people, well, there's the word refresher in canon. Now can you chill out? That's all I'm saying.
That's all he's saying, ladies and gentlemen.
That's all I'm saying.
So, I have to say, before we just dive into everything here, while I still got the little bit of a feel of a filler episode, I still think this was a little bit more fun than some of the filler episodes we've had from earlier this season.
Oh, yeah. It was certainly more fun than no diss to R2 by any means, or R2KT, but whatever that Mission Impossible Droids one was.
Yeah.
You know, the one from the Clone Wars days back when?
Oh, yeah, but the only thing, we did have a doctor in those episodes, so, you know, I can't bash it too much.
Okay, I'll give you that. Fine.
So, I guess before we talk about this episode, we should probably let the professionals talk about this episode.
Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy, as always, by StarWars.com, your lovely, ever so charming Andy Gutierrez talking Rebels on Rebels Recon. So here it is, the latest Rebels Recon.
Hey Rebels fans, it's Andy Gutierrez from Lucasfilm, back at it again with another episode of Rebels Recon. Oh. You want to do it? Fine by me. You're supposed to say, this is Rebels Recon. During a secret mission to retrieve access codes to Lothal, Chopper and AP5 are identified by an Imperial listening ship.
I believe the C-1 astromech is the droid infiltrator Grand Admiral Thrawn referenced in his memo.
Hijacked by a listener, the Imperials try to use Chopper to reveal Phoenix Squadron's base.
Search the archive memory for the location of their base.
After discovering Chopper's been compromised, Hera destroys the listener ship, and AP5 finally gets a moment to himself.
It's easy to see. I fit perfectly.
Double Agent Droid gave us a closer look at Chopper and AP5's dynamic. I sat down with cast and crew to talk about the challenges of working with Chopper, learning a little bit more about the Imperial listeners, and getting to the bottom of AP5's moment of zen. Check it out. In Double Agent Droid, we get another fun episode with Chopper and AP5. Is there anything different about your process when you're portraying a droid character?
I think it's a little different, especially because when Chopper is your co-star, he's mainly a sound effect. A lot of times you're just kind of like going with what's there on the page.
In Double Agent Droid, we see an Imperial listenership filled with people wearing Lobot-esque headgear. Can you tell us a little bit more about those people?
This was continuing a thread that we had left way back in season one with the character of Sibo. The idea that there are a number of Imperial agents that give up a degree of autonomy in order to be plugged into the Imperial data network the way they are.
It's really a sort of growing element in the galaxy because the rebellion is beginning to grow, so the Empire is kind of coming back with their own psychological operation.
They're intercepting transmissions, they're intercepting data, seeing where there might be uprisings or intel, and then Thrawn has dedicated this one to, you know, hey, there are these droids, and they keep infiltrating. We should really get on that, because the Empire usually ignores them, but Thrawn doesn't ignore anything.
AP5 seems truly content when he's floating out in space alone, and disappointed when he's scooped up by the Ghost. Why do you think he would prefer that kind of life?
In this particular episode, they're sort of ignoring him, and he's warning them that Chopper's turned, and they're kind of blowing him off, and they're in this terrible trouble because of him, so he's like, you know what, maybe this isn't so bad.
He tolerates the presence of the Rebels. I think he gets, because the Empire had no use for him, he was kind of going to be decommissioned, that it's better to be with them, but he just suffers under their lack of organization and structure, so in some ways he would like to just float out there and let his battery die.
He either wants one of two things, stuff to organize and to be left alone. So I imagine if he's free-floating in the cosmos, he could probably catalog all the stars around him, and that's his happy place.
As he's floating, AP5 sings a great little song. Was this in the script, or was it something that was just created as you were recording?
This was in the script. I remember asking Dave Filoni, I said, are we really going to have this droid singing here in Star Wars? Are we going to do this? And he said, yeah, why not? And the day that we did that, everybody else, I think, was finished with what they were doing on the show. And Taylor and Freddie and everyone's like, no, we're not going anywhere. We want to stay in here, AP5 sing.
At weird moments where I think things are going to be funny. And when we got to this moment with AP5, I just pictured him alone in space. It's so different for him. I thought it'd be funny if he kind of just spun it and doesn't even realize that in this euphoric moment, he starts to sing. And I just think it's funny. I mean, it's this very bizarre moment. But with these episodes, I think you want to go weird. Half the audience will call them filler. I know that now. I can't be like Dower and Obi-Wan Sirius every week, you know, that's yet to come.
You got to admit, it's a very good picture of BB-8.
I know. Oh.
Hey. Hi, Andy.
What are you reading?
It's a droid thing. You wouldn't really be interested.
All right, then.
Okay.
Hi.
See ya. Yeah, I didn't mean it. I'm terribly sorry. Hey, you know what? Maybe I could get you a red one. Yeah.
Lucasfilm Story Group's Pablo Hidalgo never ever takes a sick day, and he never ever leaves the country on Star Wars-related business. That's why I'm going to go meet him like I always do in the seemingly endless Lucasfilm hallways to ask him your burning Star Wars Rebels questions. Let's go.
All right, I finally find Pablo's real office. Hey, you're on, Pablo. Well, can I ask you a Rebels question? It has to do with you, so it's appropriate. Jay Sandlin Ryder asks, who paints Chopper, or you, I guess, for covert missions without Sabine around? So you're saying that there's more than one way to paint a droid, and any of the flight deck crew that are working on starfighters on Adelon could have painted you? Right. But there's no telling if you would even let them, or how many injuries resulted from somebody other than Sabine trying to paint you. And that's a story you have to be told? Got it. Thanks, Chopper.
Huh. That was unexpected. If you have more questions about Double Agent Droid, tweet them to @StarWars using the hashtag RebelsRecon, and we'll answer what we can online.
All right, Kyle, what do you make of, Recon?
We're using a filler episode. It's Recon just gets to go have fun.
Yeah. You can tell when Chopper takes the spotlight from Andy, and it's like chop, come on, man. We don't tune into Rebel Recon to see you.
Yeah, well, he thinks otherwise, and can you blame
now,
him?
But you know what? You're butting into Andy's territory. This is Andy's thing.
Yeah, but we've learned something. We did learn something very valuable this week, though. We don't mess with Hera's droid.
That Chopper replaces Canadian, too?
Well, there's that, too.
Oh, that's unfair to Pablo, by the way.
Yeah, well, Pablo's just out looking and observing the Force as life passes by.
I think we all are these days, my friend. Observing the Force as life passes by with a little shed of a tear.
So, shall we get into this interesting episode of Rebels? Shall we put it that
way? It was very interesting. Please, Kyle, by all means, beat for beat, go through this episode, and then we will end talking about the colorful giants blowing up.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So, we start off this episode with everybody on the Ghost, and a mission is being planned to get the codes to the defenses on Lothal. Now, you think, okay, this could be kind of important. We need to send the right team on this.
Yep.
Instead, they send it to the Mad World team.
God, yeah. That was one of my first sort of, okay, why?
Yeah. No, I was like, okay, you know, I can roll with Wedge being the Imperial pilot and going that, but really Chopper and AP, I'm like, what? You would think, okay, you throw in Ezra or somebody, even Zeb, you know, somebody to kind of oversee this Three Amigos trio.
Right, right. Yeah, definitely. So, you don't team Chopper up with Alan Rickman.
No, you don't. So we send him off on this stolen Imperial shuttle. And needless to say, we have the classic Looney Tunes moment between Chop and AP5 of basically...
Can I just push back and say when that happened, the yes, I can, back and forth thing, mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, are they going to have a droid sent off?
Well, it was either that or it was going to be duck season, rabbit season.
Or that. I was afraid of that, too. Ugh.
Anyway, and it is duck season, by the way.
Oh, well, that's comforting.
So, they get to the Imperial base. The codes they have work. Wedge, after scolding from AP5 for not wearing his helmet while he's piloting...
Right, which is a big no-no, Wedge.
No, bad Wedge. Very bad Wedge.
But...
So...
Then again, that guy didn't want to come back to be Wedge anyway.
Yeah, that's true. So
he would have found it boring.
So they get on the base, and let's just say we're introduced to a new villain? Is that what we're going to call him?
I guess so, yeah. Now, here's the thing. I got to say, if it weren't for... Because I found out who was doing the voice of this guy, you know, with the headband, the glasses and whatnot. Josh Gad.
Yeah, well, and
if it weren't... And this is just my personal opinion, okay? Mm-hmm. If it weren't for those, okay, maybe the first was funny, but after a while they got really annoying. If it weren't for those videos, I would, like, if those had not happened, I would have been like, okay, cool, Josh Gad, a voice in Star Wars Rebels, fine. You know, before he goes off and plays, slightly happier than usual LeFou. This is great. But after those videos, I'm just like, oh, okay, so really those videos weren't hounding Daisy Ridley. They were getting Josh Gad a job.
Well, no, I think he had recorded this long before he filmed those videos.
I don't... Well, that's probably the case, but something about the timing of that.
Okay, well, I'll give you that, but I don't think one has anything to do with the other, personally.
Usually opinions are based on when you view something, Kyle. You know that.
Yeah, well, that's true too. So.
Yeah.
But
it just seemed a little fishy to me because we had just finished up what video 3,
video 4 at this point.
Video 4 that had JJ in it, for Pete's sake.
Well, you know, you got to bring out the big guns. It's the only way you're going to get any information out of Daisy, apparently.
Well, not at, and we'll talk about it on another show as well, but not that Bob Iger had anything to say about it.
Oh, that's very true. Very, very true. But again,
go on.
So, we're introduced to this new character, the Controller, who has a thing for mathematical odds. Maybe he's headed to Vegas?
Yeah.
So... What ends up happening is AP manages to get the codes. However, while Chopper's trying to access the network, Chopper gets accessed. And I can make all kinds of jokes here, but I'm just not going to do it.
Surprise, surprise. I'm not going to do it either.
I'm proud of you, Mr. Seddon.
All right.
They're still good in you.
Don't say that. My ex-relationships would tend to disagree.
So Chopper basically gets discovered and gets hacked, and this controller, who I have to say, I didn't imagine Lobot with a beard.
I didn't either.
So, but I have to admit, it was cool to see that technology in use again.
Yeah.
So I got to give it that.
It was. We haven't quite seen that technology used yet.
So,
in the way we know of it is, anyway. Yeah.
So Chopper gets hijacked. He fights it as best as he can, but eventually this controller takes over Chopper, and he's going to use Chopper to get to the location of the Rebel base. So he's basically controlling Chopper as everybody gets back to the Imperial shuttle and they fly out of the base with the codes, the controller seeing everything that Chopper sees. And you would think right off the bat, even Wedge would know something's not right with Chopper. Chopper is being nice.
Yeah, that's when I started to watch the episode and be like, okay, something's up.
Well, I mean, you know, AP obviously knew what was going on. He was getting ignored. But, I mean, anybody who's been around Chopper for 5 minutes knows Chopper bringing drinks and Chopper being nice. No, that doesn't work.
No. It'd be like if Jeeves suddenly decided to, you know, be like, nah, you know what? Forget you. Get your own brand muffin.
Yep. Exactly. So they rendezvous with the ghost and they get on board, and AP's trying to make his case to Hera and everybody else. There's something wrong with Chopper. You know, Hera kind of brushing AP off, even though she can, it looks like she can kind of tell that maybe something's not quite right with Chopper. You know, maybe he just needs a little bit of his database wiped or something like that. But
right,
kind of blows it off. Now, yeah, this is where the episode kind of started to lose me a little bit, because I'm like, no, Hera should know instantly that there's something wrong with Chopper. Nobody's been around Chopper more than Hera.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of just threw me off a little bit, but one thing leads to another. They finally figure out something's more wrong with Chopper, but by that time it's too late. He's locked him in the cargo bay. The controller's trying to access the location of the Robo base and using a data spike to mess with the ship and get all the information he needs. Well, this leads to actually AP5 going outside to manually override the ghost. And an interesting little, I guess, space fight between Chopper and AP5.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to push back a bit and kind of bring this up. But doesn't this quite feel, with getting the information from the Imperials and then going back and all the stuff that goes on, doesn't this quite feel like, you know, what they were doing on Thrawn's ship in through Imperial Eyes, which we just talked about last week?
Yeah, there was definitely kind of a sense of been there, done that with this.
Yeah, that's what I mean by this doesn't exactly rank as filler. But it's not quite, you know, three runs above the word filler.
No, because you get a lot of, I have to say, this episode, if nothing else, definitely built a little bit more insight into AP5.
Yeah, no, it did.
So AP gets manages, but
that,
you know,
and that insight, kids, is secretly AP5 is Marvin.
Yeah. Well, AP5, you know, manages to get the override, but at the same time, Chopper knocks him off the ghost, and he goes tumbling into the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And
which I thought at that moment we'd lose AP5.
Yeah, and that's what I kind of thought as well.
The crew, like, there'd be some consequences to this show, finally.
Yeah, the crew gets free. They manage to capture Chopper. And let's just say Hera doesn't like her droid being played with. You do not mess with Hera's droid.
And let me explain to everyone listening. I only say consequence of the show, finally, not because I don't like the show. I always have huge potential for it every week. I mean, heck, I stuck through 2.5 seasons where they disappointed me with Sabine, and then I got 2 fantastic Sabine episodes with Trials of the Darksaber and Legacy of Mandalore. So, no, I want the show to be great. Don't get me wrong there. What I mean by consequences is, you know, we don't seem to lose anything on this show. There doesn't seem to be any stakes.
Yeah, no, honestly, I have to say, I haven't felt like there was any stakes since season two.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the only stakes that there have been, right, was, Ahsoka fighting Vader. And that's only because that's been building up since another show that wasn't even Rebels.
Well, and I think with Kanan going blind, too, but little did we know that was going to basically write him out of the show, but that's a whole other story.
Yes, and that was going to basically turn him into the wet nurse of the ghost background.
So, but getting back to the episode, so Hera basically does a little work on Chopper and sends the controller back some of his own medicine. And I will say this, Josh Gad explodes really nicely.
Yeah, he does.
So
I'm sure we'll be singing new Josh Gad praises in about another week.
Well, you know, the problem was the controller didn't get any warm hugs, so.
No. I'm talking about his LeFou coming out this week, man.
Well, yeah, true. But, you know, when you don't get any warm hugs, things go wrong, so.
And you go for Gaston.
Yeah.
Oh, I just had to do that.
Okay.
It all ties together, kids.
Walk away. Just walk away.
Okay. I'm trying to restrain myself. I'll sit on my hands till the end of the podcast.
So we go back to the episode, and we come back to AP5 tumbling in the darkness, kind of starting to accept his fate. And he comes up, and as he feels he's accepting it and that he's about to become dysfunctional, along comes a cute little space creature.
Yeah, and it's ironically, it's the ones we see or have seen that perch on Yoda's hand in the ambush.
Yeah. So.
Because aren't those the same ones, essentially?
I think so, or very close too.
Yeah. And is it me or is AP5 sinning?
Almost. It's almost that way.
Honestly, I thought in a little Carrie Fisher nod, he was sinning Live Day.
Oh, there you go. So.
But what would a droid know about Live Day?
Yeah.
I mean, there are those of us who want to forget Live Day.
Now, there's a lot of us who want to forget Life Day, but...
Yeah, I know. Anyone who's over 40.
So,
or in my case, close to it.
Yeah. So as AP5 is about to accept his fate and he's surrounded by his new friends, here comes the bright light. And then all of a sudden we see it's the ghost. And AP's like, no, leave me. I don't want this. But of course, you know, it's AP. So right into the ghost he goes.
Yeah, right into the ghost.
And, you know, we have our typical Chopper trying to apologize and AP and Chopper going back into their rabbit season, duck season routine. And basically, end of episode.
Yeah. I gotta say, with what episode we'll be talking about next week, thank God.
Yeah, this no
was over really quick.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, was it an entertaining episode? Sure. Was it a fun episode? Sure. But it was a derivative of what we saw the week before with Through Imperial Eyes.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, if you're going to do that and not have Thrawn, then my question is, why did you bring him into the friggin' show?
Yep. Well, here's the thing. Right? Here's the thing with this particular episode. We know that the next couple, as the season is winding down, we've only got a couple episodes left.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something most TV shows are prone to do. They have that filler episode before everything's about to hit the fan.
I agree. And we've hit the filler.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it's not as bad as some fillers have been.
Yeah, this has been a rough season for fillers, and I know it's kind of been an ongoing conversation we've had all season. This just, and again, I think it goes back to Dave not being quite as involved this season, and neither here nor there. It still had this season.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Whatever that new show is, between episode 6 and 7, show, please, please, pretty please, with Minox on top. Little juicy Minox on top. Not you, Matt. But whatever that new show is that Filoni was working on, you can tell that it hurt the credibility of this show just a little bit.
Yeah, and I've talked with a few people about when they announced that season 4 was coming, and I mean, everybody's very excited for it, but the general consensus I'm getting a feeling for is that a lot of people kind of hope that season 4 might be the last of Rebels, because I think they're ready to move on from these characters.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be fair, you know, and the reason I say a between episode 6 and 7 show is I love Rebels, don't get me wrong. I'm looking forward to doing another Ghost Transmission season with you, sir, and hopefully a few others, perhaps. Who knows? But, you know, as much as I am looking forward to that and love Rebels, I didn't want this show. I wanted that show.
Well, that's true. But, you know, before we talk, get ourselves on what we did and what we didn't want, We do know what's coming, and I think everybody across the board knows what's coming. So, David, you got a clip for next week's episode of Star Wars Rebels, because I'm ready. I want it yesterday.
Oh, man. Yes, I have a clip. We are going to basically clippity clip, clip, clip. Watch this clip. So let's roll the clip.
I can feel his presence. See him.
My mind's eye.
Will it end here? Like this. Kenobi!
Oh, Sam Witwer is so good.
I want it now. Give it to me. Give it to me.
I want it.
So, okay. Speculation time, David, because I'm curious. Do you think at the end of this season we're finally going to get the end of the Darth Maul story?
As much as I would love to see Maul utilized in a movie somehow, I am going to say 95% yes, we will see the end of Maul.
Yeah,
and it pains me to say that, because you know, we've talked about it on air and off air. As much as I like the animated Star Wars, I'm sorry, we are living in a golden age of you're spoiled rotten with all these movies coming.
Oh, I agree. However, you know, we have to look at realistically with where the timelines and stuff go. I think you could see Maul and what if they go back in time to some prequels to stuff between. In the prequels. I mean, that's the thing with these movies. They can go anywhere now. But I do think it is fair that Dave Filoni gets a chance to write Maul out in his own way, because even though Maul premiered in the live action in Phantom Menace and everything like that, Dave Filoni has been the one who's developed the character of Darth Maul and created the story of Maul.
Oh, absolutely. Everything aside from what Filoni has done with the Clone Wars or Rebels, and it's not all been brilliant. I will say not all been brilliant, but all been really, really good regardless.
Yeah.
So it's kind of been a mixed bag at times. But what I will say, where the shows have really sizzled and cooked, aside from the Ahsoka Vader fight, which we knew was building up in a show that wasn't even Star Wars Rebels, you know, the way Filoni has utilized Darth Maul from Maul with the big giant spider ass,
yeah,
to Maul now has just been really, really stellar and good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm not. I was not a big fan of Spider Maul, but I love what he's done with the character and developed the world from where the characters come from.
Well, see, I didn't mind Spider-Maul. What I wasn't a fan of is, I know Dave Filoni's a big Pittsburgh Steelers guy. Do we really need Maul's brother that color?
Well, okay, I'll give you that. But anytime I can get some Clancy Brown, I'm all for it.
Clancy Brown, fine. But I'm sorry, sneaking in your Pittsburgh Steelers colors in a very sort of backdoor fashion that way, no.
Yeah, well, you know.
And it's Dave, I love you. I share the name Dave. Come on, we're kinsmen, okay? But there, you're hearing this from a non-sports guy. So... And well, that was my only beef.
Yeah. Well, now, David, I know we talk Rebels here, and that's our focus. But, you know, there's something I think I want to just address quickly here, because I know we'll deeper into it in another show. But Bob Iger had some very kind words about the Star Wars franchise the other day.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And I think without going too deep into it here, we'll, you know, do a Phantom Awakens radio show discussing it, but I will just say this. For anyone worried or on the fence or aside themselves about, you know, the future of Star Wars, I'm sorry, I listen to Bob and I'm like, why are you worried again?
Yeah, well, and there isn't any reason to be. I mean, and Bob Iger is smart enough. He's got the two biggest movie franchises in the country going right now.
Right, and right, yeah.
Why? All he has to do is sit back and let them do their thing.
And I've even heard that he may extend his stay past 2018. Dude's been CEO of Disney since 2005.
Yeah, well, and I don't think too many people would complain about that, because between him and Lasseter, they've really turned it around for Disney.
Right, yeah. You know, Bob Iger and John Lasseter really turned things around. It's who was the guy before either of those two?
The guy who we don't name, we normally aren't supposed to mention, but we're talking about one Michael Eisner.
Oh, yeah, that guy. That guy was not so good.
No.
I will say this. It's a good thing, a solitary good thing, that you know, George had the franchise still under his control when Eisner was at Disney, because had this happened under Eisner, you would not see as much of a return to fervor as you are right now. You just wouldn't.
No, you would. Well, because Eisner, the difference being Eisner couldn't keep his hands off things.
Yeah, I mean, Eisner essentially reminds me of Fox, where Fox meddles with everything.
Except Deadpool.
Don't get me started on Deadpool.
Okay, we won't get you started on Deadpool.
Just don't get me started on Deadpool, please.
Oh, come on, you know you enjoyed that trailer before Logan.
No, I'm warning you. I told you, don't do it. Anyway, gang, that brings a close to this episode of Red 5 Ghost Transmissions, your Phantom Awakens radio spin-off podcast. I am your host, David Sennen, and...
This is Kyle Wagner, slowly working his way to taking over the Ghost, just like... I am the next to infiltrate Chopper.
I thought you were taking over the galaxy, damn it. Why don't you tell me these things?
Well, you know, you got to do it in steps. It's steps. The galaxy is coming, but it's in steps. You know, I can't just oust the evil emperor that's in power now. It's a little hard. My last plan failed, so I'm taking the careful and thought out approach.
You know what? I don't think anyone can oust the emperor now. Oh, wait, you're not talking that emperor. Never mind. Never mind. Family show. All right. Well, on that note, gang, we will just end the show with our typical closing. Stay rebellious.
Always.
Thanks for listening to Red 5 Ghost Transmissions.
Things are getting worse just as they did back when I was your age. But back then, there were 10,000 Jedi Knights protecting the galaxy. Now,
there's just you and me.
Star Wars and Star Wars Rebels are trademarks of Lucasfilm. Uh-huh.
We rob from the Empire, give to the needy. A noble cause.
Yeah.
I'm on my mark.
And Lucasfilm Animation, respectively.
Gotcha.
Mission accomplished.
Lucasfilm and Lucasfilm Animation are subsidiaries of the Walt Disney Company.
Lord Vader.
Yes, Master.
The rebels in the Lothal system. Hunt them down.
As you wish.
All rights reserved.
Fighter, coming in at Mark 3.
We've lost Phoenix 1 and 2.
We will squeeze Lothal until someone reveals the whereabouts of these traitors.
For the good of Lothal, we have to leave.
All right, if I tag along?
The more the merrier.
Fighting alongside soldiers isn't what I signed up for.
We are fighting a bigger fight.
We can't just run.
Ezra, we were lucky to survive.
This podcast is not sponsored or endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or its subsidiary, Lucasfilm.
Fear. The anger. The hate. I haven't sensed a presence like that since...
The Clone Wars.
My name is Rex. Captain. 501st Clone Battalion. I fought with Commander Tano during the Clone Wars. And a friend of hers... is a friend of mine.
Everyone, hang
Star
on.
Wars and Star Wars Rebels are trademarks of Lucasfilm and Lucasfilm Animation, respectively.
For those, we are off on
this podcast
adventure.
Is not sponsored or endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or its subsidiary Lucasfilm.
Rex, keep those ties off our back.
Working on it.
Surrender. Destroyed. I hope you brought a better class of soldier than the stormtroopers.
They'll all be coming now.
This podcast, Red 5 Ghost Transmissions, is meant for information and entertainment purposes only.
I'm not afraid.
That's what worries me.
Your master has deceived you into believing you can become a Jedi.